The Business Buzz Podcast. The Business Buzz.
Good evening and welcome to the Business Buzz right here on VFM 88.1. My name is Mudiwa Mob Justice Gavaz and I'll be your host on tonight's show. It is our first Business Buzz for 2020 and I'm happy to be back in the studio simply because, you know, it's been a while. I think our last show was in the first week of about December. So now we're back for the year. And for today's show, we're going to be having quite an interesting topic, especially for all the small to medium-sized businesses out there. We're going to be talking about entrepreneurial communities. So entrepreneurs face a myriad of challenges, and very often there isn't enough support to actually help them navigate some of these challenges. So today we're going to be looking into entrepreneurial communities and their significance in supporting entrepreneurs and startups. We are going to be having quite an interesting show with some learned guests that are going to be guiding us through this, and we're going to be talking to Nadine Chetty, who is co-founder at Ecom Accounting Solutions, a business accounting firm helping enterprises to keep financial records using technology. And we're going to be also talking to Mahlatsit Tolamo, who is an ecosystem enabler at 22 on Sloan, who'll be speaking to us a little bit about entrepreneurship communities and an upcoming event called the Startup Huddle, which will be taking place on the 13th of February, aimed at educating and connecting entrepreneurs. So that's how the show is going to be looking like. On the other side of this, we're also going to be getting into the Business Wrap. That's a part of the show where we give you a roundup of the week's top trending business and economics news. And then on the other side of this, we'll tell you the state of your 100 Rand in our Buffalo Index. Remember that you can keep in touch with us, join in the conversation, let us know about the businesses that you have and perhaps some of the communities you've been able to build around your enterprise. On Facebook, we are VFM, that's Voice of Vits. You can also find our other Facebook page, that is the Vits Radio Academy. On Twitter, we're at VFM and our hashtag is hashtag business buzz. And then you can also find our podcast on vits.journalism.co.za/business. So that's it. That's how the show is looking like. Make sure you don't turn that dial. We are here until about 8 p.m. Remember, this is the Business Buzz.
Forget what the little birdie told you. Follow us at VFM and join the conversation. Business Wrap with Ken Sweatman.
It's time for us to get into the Business Wrap. That's a part of the show where we give you a roundup of the week's top trending business and economics news. And on the line, we are joined by our financial expert, that is Ken Swettenham. Ken, how are you?
I'm very well this evening, and yourself?
Huh? I'm fine, thank you. I'm not sure whether people still say Happy New Year in February, but since it is our first show of the year, thank you so much for joining us once again in 2020.
Thank you. It's my pleasure, and dare I say Happy New Year to you and the people at the station as well.
I think just a good point to perhaps start, since it is our first show of the year, is perhaps to just give us some highlights, I guess, on your end, on what's happened since, I guess, the new year, because there have been quite a number of things that, you know, from business rescues to bailouts to more load shedding to the Rand being affected by the coronavirus. What has stood out for you, I guess, so far in 2020?
Well, you've mentioned the pertinent points there, and I think as South Africans, the biggest points have been South African Airways and Eskom, both in the news for mainly the wrong reasons.
Yeah.
South African Airways because of its business rescue, a 3.5 billion Rand cash injection from the Development Corporation, which is not really what that money's for. And then the Development Corporation have said, no, they'll get their money back, but it'll be repaid by the government, which is effectively yours and my tax money. So we're bailing out SAA again. And in fact, the main news headlines today are all around SAA rather than Eskom. SAA Express, of course, who is linked, also a government-run airline, has been put into business rescue. They are complaining like mad, and they are going to appeal that ruling. And SAA, it turns out, are going to scrap all domestic routes apart from the Johannesburg-Cape Town route. It just goes on and on. If it was a private business, you would have to say this is a business that is slowly but surely dying. You just wonder where the future of SAA lies. That's the one point. And the other point is Eskom, ongoing load shedding, ongoing breakdowns, ongoing maintenance. It's the same story we've been hearing now for at least the last 5 years. The only spot of, believe it or not, good news I spotted on the lines earlier today was that Transnet plans to get coal to Eskom cheaper and faster through delivering more coal through the rail rather than on roads, which is the more expensive way of delivering coal. Transnet, of course, is also an SOE, so I hope this doesn't affect them in any way. But it's a small bit of good news if Eskom is going to get access to cheaper coal. And hopefully that will help them a little bit with their ongoing financial planning.
In terms of, I guess, some of the bigger issues from the year, what do you suspect might be the one or two issues from the ones you've just mentioned, whether it's SAA or Eskom, that the budget speech, which is coming up very soon, going to actually focus on?
Well, to be honest with you, I don't think it's going to be particularly focused on SAA or Eskom at all. I have no doubt they'll be mentioned in the budget speech, but that will not be the focus of the budget speech coming up in a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
We all know the SAA and Eskom story, and there's not very much our finance minister can say in the budget speech which is going to change things. His biggest problem is the fact that we've got a government running up far too much debt. They are basically spending more than they're earning. And we can all relate to that in our personal capacity. Even if you're not earning enough to cover your expenditure, then you are borrowing money to make up the difference. And that is unsustainable in the long term. And that's effectively what our government has been doing. Just for a minute, it's a very simple concept. Our unemployment is growing, and it's growing rapidly, at the highest levels in about the last 11 years at the moment. The more people unemployed means less tax collections. I mean, unemployed people don't pay tax. Businesses are not doing well in this economy, so their profits aren't as good, less tax from them. So there's less collection coming into the fiscus, and the government is borrowing to make up the difference. And that doesn't seem to be stopping. And at the moment, our government interest payments are becoming bigger and bigger and bigger and are becoming a problem for our government. So the focus is going to be cutting expenditure in government, which should be interesting to see how he goes about that. And, of course, more tax collections. I wouldn't be at all surprised if we see another VAT increase. We don't want it, but it is a very efficient way of collecting more tax, unfortunately, for us.
Yeah. So apart from, I guess, quite a dire prediction that we might have an increase in VAT, just turning to some of the news of the week, I think people are looking a lot just around the coronavirus and all of that. Has that really been something that has affected us economically, or is this something, or is it a global systemic risk that's has affected us in any way, or are we just making a mountain out of a molehill?
Well, the markets always tell us a story when it comes to anything, in fact, be it a threat to world peace or World War III or Donald Trump saying things he shouldn't. And in this case, the coronavirus. So when it first surfaced 2 or 3 weeks ago, our markets dropped, not only the South African market, but around the world, and our market followed suit, thinking this may be a huge problem. Well, over the last 2 or 3 days, the markets have recovered and recovered well, including our local market, which tells us that the market is now discounting the threat of the coronavirus, and it may not be the threat that it was possibly touted to be in the first instance. Yes, it's not good. I don't know the figures off the top of my head. We've had about 200 deaths, I think, and a couple of thousand people around the world infected.
Yeah.
It does seem to be contained in China. I know there's a cruise ship off the coast of Japan that has somehow got the virus in there. There's been 2 or 3 suspected cases in Botswana, of all places, from Chinese coming into the country. But when you consider the 7 billion people on the planet, it is a very, very small proportion. And I think the markets are now discounting that this will become the epidemic that it may be threatened to be, because markets around the world have recovered and recovered well. In fact, the Japan index was up over 2% yesterday. Our market has followed suit, up nearly 2% yesterday, up again very slightly today. So the market seemed to be discounting it as a threat. But it's still there, and we do need to be aware of it. Yeah.
Okay, so there's been us with Ken Swettenham. He's talking about the fact that the upcoming budget speech might not necessarily focus on SAA and Eskom, that they will definitely be mentioned, but there are a lot of fish to fry. And he's also saying that we might see an increase in VAT, at least as an efficient way to be collecting taxes for the fiscus. Another issue is the coronavirus, which started out in China and has spread other parts of the world. And he was just highlighting the fact that the markets did initially react, but so far this week, the markets seem to have recovered, meaning that they've priced in the risk. And for now, it doesn't seem as if the markets are taking this as a very, very serious issue. So that's been it in terms of the business wrap. On the other side of this, we get into the Buffalo Index.
The Buffalo Index on the Business Buzz.
It's time for us to tell you the state of your 100 Rand on our Buffalo Index. And for today, where, you know, when you are a business owner or trying to start a business, one of the issues that's there is, if you don't know how to start a business, or if you don't know how to grow the business, where can you get the best advice? And in trying to find the best advice, the real question is, how much does it cost to get the best advice to get your business off the ground? So for today's Buffalo Index, we're looking at small business consulting fees. And right now, it looks like the average price is starting at around 250 Rand or 2.5 Buffaloes for an interim consultant that's working on an operational level. To about 14 Buffaloes, that's 1,400 Rand or more per month for a consultant from a leading strategy consulting firm. Some of the highest rates in consulting are charged by global strategy consulting firms such as your McKinsey's and the Boston Consulting Group together with Bain & Company. But in the mid-range fee market, you kind of see it's populated by some of the more mid-tier firms, but for small businesses in particular, if you're interested in getting the best advice and you want some advice and also help with putting together certain documents, the hourly business consulting rate, I guess I wanted to look at it from an international point of view, just to see where South Africa sort of gauges itself. And at the moment, hourly business consulting rates are sitting at around 1,800, then that's 18 Buffaloes. Business plans, if you want like a really good, excellent business plan that you can take to a funder, you are paying on average about 60 Buffaloes. If you want market research plans, you've got that brilliant idea, but you now want to know whether it's going to be feasible or not, you're looking at about 45 Buffaloes, that's 4,500 Rand. If you want some financial projections, that's around 8 Buffaloes or 800 Rand, maybe an executive summary, high-level sort of summary, you're looking at around 9 Buffaloes or 900 Rand. And then ongoing consulting services, that's having a consultant on tap, that's on average for people that can really afford it, that can set you back around 370 Buffaloes or 37,000 Rand. So if you want some of the best business advice in the world, and money is no expense, that's what it's costing. But for some of the small businesses out there, we are going to be talking to some people on the other side of this, just around some of the support you can build for yourself, especially when it comes to building communities and perhaps leveraging the different expertise that other people have. So that's what we're going to be talking about on the other side of this in our main topic.
Mob Justice on the Business Buzz.
It is the Business Buzz right here on VAW FM 88.1. Remember that you can keep in touch with us. We are VAW FM, that's Voice of Vits on Facebook. Our other page is Vits Radio Academy. And then on Twitter, we're hashtag Business Buzz. And then our handle is at VAW FM. So many local entrepreneurs actually remain challenged by a number of common barriers to entry, such as access to markets and funding, as well as other developmental, trying to find other developmental opportunities. communities. So today we're going to be focusing on the benefits and importance of building support systems and communities around your business. And to start things off, it's an interesting one, because I think this is an area that a lot of small businesses actually struggle with, and that is keeping a good set of financial records, because these are very important when you're applying for a loan, when you're trying to get funding, when people are trying to invest in your business. They want to know, what are you doing? And it's just good as well, just so that you practice some discipline. And on the line, we are joined by Nadine Chetty, who is the co-founder of Ecom Accounting Solutions, which is a business accounting firm helping enterprises to keep financial records using technology, as well as a QuickBooks trainer. Nadine, how are you?
Very well, thanks. And yourself?
I'm fine, thank you. I guess just for our listeners' benefit, what are you guys doing at Ecom Accounting, and what is the actual speciality, and how does that relate to small businesses?
So we, at the heart of our business, is startups. We ourselves started up as a startup, so we know the struggles. We just want to equip the small business owner with as much tools and knowledge that he or she can utilize these tools to grow their business, manage their compliance, and overall be happy with the way their business is functioning.
Now, one of the tools that you guys are using is QuickBooks, and I also understand you guys as in terms of the different accounting solutions. So for people that may have businesses out there, and they're saying, Nadine, but I'm just a small business, I don't have money to pay for this software or this accounting package, something like QuickBooks, what do you say to people like that?
So I would say, as a small business owner, yes, you count every cent that you can, because you're trying to maximize your profits. But in saying that, you need a specific tool that can actually help you maximize your profits, see where your expenses are going, see how much money you're making, how much of money is outstanding. And this is where QuickBooks Online is such a great tool. Not only is it super cost effective, it is so user-friendly. There's a mobile app, so young people like myself, who are always on our phones, it makes it so great to run your business, because it's at the touch of your mobile phone.
Now, I think, because I understand you yourself are like 26, but for what about someone who's perhaps the older generations that really didn't grow up with the smartphone? Have you had any challenges perhaps interacting with people there to say, trying to advocate for the importance of using technology in keeping accounting records?
So I actually have a wonderful story of one of our clients.
Yeah.
He's actually a 75-year-old man, and he runs his business through his mobile phone. He uses QuickBooks Online. He does all his invoicing on there. It's actually easier for him to just touch a few buttons on his phone and send out the invoices, and he sends them out through WhatsApp. So it's what the technology and the communication that everyone uses. And that's what's so great about QuickBooks Online, is that you can actually share your invoices through WhatsApp. So even if you don't have an email account, or let's say you're not the fondest of email, as maybe some of the older generation aren't, you always are communicating via WhatsApp, because most of them speak to their children on WhatsApp. So it's a good way to still be able to run your business. But I always have a conversation with people and say, where do you find it easier to work on? Are you mainly at a computer? Then by all means, let's get you on the QuickBooks Online solution. As I said, it's cloud-based. So you can access it anywhere, anytime. So you could be sitting in Mauritius or Mozambique or somewhere where there's an internet connection, and you can run your business. So there's no constraint of you being physically stuck in an office. And this is great for people who aren't office-based.
So for that, you are an accountant yourself, and now you're talking about this this man, 75 years old, he's running his business, he's able to share his invoices and the like via the WhatsApps. Is there still a place for small business owners to be consulting like an actual accountant, like a person in real life, or have we moved past that? Is there still a place in the small business sector for accountants to come in and actually offer some of that advice?
So definitely, I think the first thing why it's important to speak to an accountant or a professional in the finance industry is because they need to advise you on which is the right tools to suit your business. Not only that, an accounting professional obviously equipped to handle your taxes and your compliance related things in which you need a professional to assist you with. And with that, we ourselves are moving into more of an advisory role with our clients. Because of some of the stuff is automated, we now sit and have conversations with our clients to say, this is where you're spending a lot of money, this is where you're not making money, these product lines are the most profitable, and only using QuickBooks Online as a technology are you able to get these key insights and analytics to help your client grow and not fall in this economy.
Mm. And I guess a follow-up from that is, what type of conversations are you having, I guess, as an accountant and you've got this technology, what type of conversations are you having? What type of challenges are small business owners raising with you that you find are commonly tripping up people?
So one of the major, major things, I think that not even small business owners, I think the entire world is facing, is cash flow problems. We always are spending, even in our own personal lives,
yeah,
we're always spending more than what we have, or we are spending more than we think we have, or however it may be. So we have the conversation on, let's go into a budgeting, let's form a budget, let's manage your cash flow. Let's say, okay, so you know at the end of the month you're going to get in 50,000 per se, but you're going to have to pay out 100,000. So in the month before, you need to keep a reserve of so much, or you need to do some advertising to gain your sales to match your expenses. So we really help and educate the clients, because clients are there, entrepreneurs are there to run what they're good at, to run their businesses, be it a retail store, be it a plumber or IT specialist. They know what they know. We are not going to go in there and try and tell them how to do gardening, per se. But we are there to help them and say, you know what, in this way, I think maybe we need to have a conversation with your bank to say that maybe we need to look at the bank charges, or maybe this is not the right bank for you as their fee structure is different. So conversations like that, just to have, and I can tell you this now, and once you start the conversation, you see all the frustrations and the problems and the pain points come out. And once we find those problems and pain points, it's so much easier to try and find solutions around it.
Now, in finding those solutions, one of the things that I think some of the listeners might be then wondering is, Is a person ever making too little money as a small business to have financial records?
You, unfortunately, in this country you live in, you always, always have to have financial records. Whether you are operating on the sideline and still have your current job, it is an utmost importance to have financial records and to keep them in a safe place. Because as we know, SARS wants your records going 5 years, 10 years back. So it's so important to have a cloud system that can hold all your information for you. You're not going to lose it if theft happens or some unforeseen circumstance, that you have this information to report. Because compliance is becoming ever more important in this country, especially with all the issues we've had. So the SARS and the industries are going very hard on even the small guys. I mean, we have clients who have two customers, but they still realize the importance. And remember, you always start as small, but the sky is the limit in a small business. You should never think of yourself as you're going to stay small.
Yeah. Now, on that is, what would you advise as, I guess, some core financial records just to keep? Let's say the most basic and stripped down form of financial records that you would advise people to actually keep. Someone might be saying, but Nadine, I know nothing about accounting. I know nothing about cash flow statements, balance sheets, reconciliations and the like. But they are keen to keep a record of some sort. So how would you advise, maybe give just a basic structure of maybe the most basic financial records that a person can keep for themselves, and then those can then be passed on to someone else to do something bigger with?
So I think obviously if your company is registered, which I do suggest, you'd need to keep those documents very safe because that's basically the founding documents of your business. It's also very important to register a business because of your name. Let's, for instance, say you think of the most brilliant name ever, but if you don't register it, someone else can steal that name from you and then you're kind of stuck.
Yeah.
So registering your company, keeping those documents very safe is very important. And then I also think if you are not opting to go into accounting system, which I don't think is super necessary because on QuickBooks Online, a starting package is about 100 grand a month.
Yeah.
So if you can't really afford that, let's say for some weird instance that you really don't want to go for an accounting software, I think the best is to keep all your slips of all your expenses as well as your bank statements and obviously the invoices that you send out to clients. So those are basically around about the most necessary information that you have to keep for if you go to an accountant or tax preparer at the end of the financial year.
Okay. And then the last question is just around one of our focuses on today's show is building communities around entrepreneurs, building communities around each other. Have you found that to be something that perhaps works for people that might not necessarily be able to, let's say, afford a financial professional? If I sell bread and my friend sells sweets, but my friend who sells sweets happens to know how to do some basic income and expenditure type of records. Have you found that having that, building those type of communities helps people at least being accountable for themselves?
Yes, definitely. I think wherever you want to start, wherever you can start is so important. I mean, even with us and our business, we have almost a little community with our clients. So let's say a client comes to us and say, Nadine, we need, do you know of anyone who does legal services? And then we would refer one of our clients and vice versa.
Yeah.
So you build your communities and they grow and they grow. And always having someone with a financial background, yes, they can't compile financial statements for you, but if they have some sort of financial knowledge, it is always good to have them close because they can help you to a stage where you are able to afford a monthly accounting package.
Okay, so that's been it. We were talking to Nadine Chetty, and one of the key advices that she's giving is that if you do not have that accounting acumen, you don't can't necessarily afford a software package, you can actually make sure you keep your slips, everything that you are spending money on, and then you can then pass that on to someone who can prepare some books of accounts for you. In addition, she's also just saying that it's good to have some software that you can use. She told the story of a 75-year-old man who is running his business from his mobile phone. So that just shows how technology is changing the way that businesses are running. And lastly, on the issue of communities, she's talking about the fact that people can actually help each other to leverage different skills, different types of business lines just by engaging with each other there. So that's been it. Thank you so much. That was us with Nadine Chetty, who is the co-founder of Ecom Accounting Solutions, and she's also a QuickBooks trainer. On the other side of this, we're going to be chatting to Mahlatse Tolamo just around what the work that they are doing at 22 on Sloan and the ecosystem that they are building there, and an upcoming event that they are going to be having just around building these communities around small businesses and enterprises. Keep it locked. This is The Business Buzz.
You're tuned in to The Business Buzz.
We are talking about building communities. We're talking about building support systems around enterprises and small businesses. And just before the break, we're talking to Nadine Chetty from Ecom Accounting Solutions and a trainer at QuickBooks. And she was telling us about the importance of keeping financial records in in your business and actually leveraging some of the people in your community to help you with that. But right now we want to talk about actually people that are working to build these communities. And on the line we are joined by Mahlatse Tolamo, who is Ecosystem Enabler at 22 on Sloan. Mahlatse, how are you?
Hello, Mdiwa. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. Thank you so much for joining us. For people that might not know 22 on Sloan, you guys are based in Bryanston, and you guys are an incubation hub. What type of work are you guys doing there, and what's your role?
All right. So 22 on Sloan is a tech startup campus. So we offer different services. Firstly, we have different programs which will help entrepreneurs reach their end goal. Firstly, we have the incubation, which helps companies which have generated less than 200 million rand and or are in ideation phase. And then secondly, we have the accelerator program, which helps companies that are over 200, that have generated over 200 million rand. And then lastly, we have the youth program, which makes us more unique because it helps with kids that are 13 to 17 years old. So basically, we are nurturing that entrepreneurship mindset from a very young age.
Now, I understand that you guys actually have an event that's coming up later this month, just around building support and actually helping to connect entrepreneurs. Can you just tell us a little bit about this?
Okay. So the event is Startup Huddle.
Yeah.
So its aim is to support local entrepreneurs to perfect their pitching skills and explore solutions to the challenges they face. This program is designed to educate, engage, and connect entrepreneurs. Basically, what happens is that on a given evening, such as next week Thursday, the 13th of February, one startup founder will give a six-minute presentation to a diverse audience that can be investors, other entrepreneurship founders, some community leaders. And each presentation is followed by a 20-minute question and answer. So within this question and answer situation, they will huddle and give solutions to that challenge that the founder came up with. So basically, this event is important because it serves as a safe space for entrepreneurs to share and identify challenges that are blocking their programs. The theme for this startup huddle will be youth in tech. Being an entrepreneur alone is very hard. Imagine as a student.
Yeah.
So our aim as 22 on Sloan is to because the youth is full of potential, we need to help them realize this potential and mold their talent, skills, and ideas with the support structure that we're offering.
In building those communities, what would you say are some of the benefits of actually building communities around entrepreneurs? Because what I've found with people that start businesses, a lot of them don't want to let go of the control of their business. So, you know, they hold on to the ideas. Other people, you know, apart from bringing people in, they're also very closed off about the ideas, where they want to go, where they want their business to actually grow and accelerate to. So how are you guys overcoming some of these things?
An event such as Startup Huddle will help. Right now, as an entrepreneur, you might think that your business is reaching the best level that it can, right? Because we get so caught up in the idea of this business model that we have, forgetting that we might actually realize more goals, we might actually have enough money to push this idea as further as we can be.
Yeah.
So, this startup panel, while engaging with other entrepreneurs, you might realize that there are other opportunities that you might lie and they might help your business grow. So by networking events are very crucial as an entrepreneur because you get to network and meet people that might actually help your business accelerate. They might elevate whatever ideas that you have. Right now, another challenge that most entrepreneurs face is that they don't have contingency planning. Right now, we're moving into the 4IR. How do you know that your business is well-equipped for this new industry that we're moving in? So such communities will help you grow your business.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, I think a lot of people, just being in the tech space, for example, there are a lot of different incubation hubs, the accelerators, etc. In you guys coming up with your startup huddle, what makes the program different from other such programs?
Okay, so basically, I'm going to start with to influence AIM. Our aim is to nurture the entrepreneurial mindset, ensure their sustainability, and explore the development of new industries, right? And most importantly, create jobs in Africa. So what's different about the startup huddle is that we will invite, it's not more of a masterclass where we bring big intimidating companies, you understand? So we bring, we bring just local entrepreneurs who are just starting their businesses or who have passed the five-year benchmark, so that they understand each other more. There's less egos in the room, so they it's a comfort zone, basically. They can speak comfortably about their challenges. They can grow steadily together. Unlike when there's a big company, we can intimidated that, oh my gosh, IBM is doing this and I'm not doing that. So that's also the problem that entrepreneurs have. They don't monitor their progress appropriately. Instead, they monitor themselves against this big company. So we want them to feel comfortable and be confident in their business as they grow, because we're trying to create sustainable businesses that will help create jobs and help the South African economy.
Can you just give our listeners an idea of some of the types of tech businesses that you guys have in your environment, just to give us an idea as well of the type of connections or the type of collaborations that are likely to happen from people that do attend the startup huddle?
Okay, so the presenters, the startup co-founders that will be presenting during the startup huddle is firstly Lesedi Mochadivani, who is the co-founder of Campus Connect. Actually, this group is from Wits University. They're second-year accounting students. I don't know if you've heard of them. So their company is aimed at tackling problems that students face in South Africa by providing free access to animated videos, notes, summaries, and exam-type questions. And then, so the second presenters will be MaxiCash application, and the presenter will be Rudy Mokwamo.
Yeah.
So MaxiCash app is a virtual wallet which allows African diaspora globally to support their families and friends back home. Some of its features are sending money, buying electronic vouchers. So what's special about this specific company is that they were amongst the five African startups who were selected to pitch at the migration challenge at Ecuador. So we managed to place these two different startup companies to show the different dynamics, because the Campus Connects are just young students, with students that just started up their companies, and, you know, and then the MaxiCash app, they're well in the youth, but they've already achieved so much. So this new company can learn so much from this other company, although both are considered as startups.
Okay. And then at 22 John Sloan, is there some way you can give us an idea of how big or how many businesses you guys are dealing with at the moment?
Okay, so other than our programs,
yes,
we also host games and we offer co-working spaces.
Yeah.
So we have our startup companies and our tenants. So the tenants are companies that don't have offices, so they would like to use our office spaces.
Yeah.
So with our startups, we have 40 plus startups, and then with our tenants, we have 70 tenants. It's a big campus. It's a mini campus.
Yeah.
So you can understand the entrepreneurial spirit that brews inside that campus. I mean, there's a lot of companies you can build connections fast. Networking becomes so easy because there's a diverse space of entrepreneurs and sectors.
It definitely sounds like there's a lot going on there and quite a great scope of opportunity for people to actually come together and collaborate. For our listeners who might want to either attend the startup huddle or might be interested in the co-working spaces and the like, how can they get in touch with you?
So they can go to our website, which is www.22onsloan.co, or they can directly contact me. My email address is mahlatsi@22onsloan.co.
mahlatsi@22onsloan.co.
Yes.
Okay, cool. So that's been us with Mahlatsi Tolamo, who is an ecosystem enabler at 22 on Sloan, just giving us a roundup of what the work that they are doing in Bryanston at 22 on Sloan. They are a campus that is facilitating and housing a number of different technology startups. And she was just telling us the importance of people coming together in communities as entrepreneurs so that they can leverage off of each other's skills, bounce off ideas. And she's saying right now the environment that they've created is one where they are, it sounds like there's a lot of different businesses that are there. I think she said there were more than 40 startups that they have in that particular environment. So thank you so much to her. We're just going to take a quick break and then we'll be back on the other side of this.
You're tuned in to the Business Buzz.
This is the Business Buzz, and we've been talking about building support systems and communities around small businesses in and around South Africa. But just before we come to the end of the show, I just thought it would be valuable, you know, for us to bring in one of our producers. She is our executive producer. This is Glory Mabuza. And in addition to being our producer, she's actually, you know, doing quite impressive work out there. Can I call it communications?
No, it's actually a digital consulting, marketing and branding company.
See, there we go.
Yeah.
We do the things on the business plans. So, I think we've actually chatted a lot of times, you know, I guess offline just around the work that you're doing. But one of the things that I found interesting in talking to Nadine and then talking to Mahlatsi is just the fact that people are using communities in different ways. So my question, you know, for you has just been, how have you been able to, I guess, build a community around your business, and how has that actually helped you to operate?
I'll speak from a female entrepreneur's perspective. I think for me, most of the challenges that I faced were more women or female orientated. So I obviously gravitate towards finding support systems that would cater for that.
Yeah.
And this was through women's empowerment organizations and other incubation hubs that specifically support female entrepreneurship. So that's essentially how I... That's essentially what I chose to gravitates toward, and it's helped me in such a way that I've been able to find ways to address some of the problems that I faced, and one of which is like access to funding. Most businesses would generally want to fund, like, not businesses, but investors generally would like to fund more male-dominated or male-orientated businesses. But obviously the landscape is changing now that a lot of businesses are gravitating towards empowering women, lifting them up and the like. So, yeah, those are some of the challenges that I personally face with my business. And these support organizations, for example, I'll name the Business Women's Organization, Gen Beehive, have just been there to support female entrepreneurs like us.
Yeah. And then Lastly, in talking to you as well, I've sort of begun to appreciate the fact that you've sort of built a community as well, your own community around your own business. Is it hard finding people that you can work with, collaborate with? Because I'm sure when you have a piece of work that needs to be done, you know, you have your standards, you have your own way of, you know, operating, and then bringing that community, that's maybe someone from outside to do like a specific thing. How have you navigated that?
It's, I won't lie, it's been tough.
Yeah.
Finding people who will align to your business brand is very difficult.
Yeah.
So when you have a support organization, you are able to sort of, it sort of kind of makes things easier for you, in a sense that they would sort of kind of like know what your business needs are.
For example,
let's say I'm looking for a photographer that is for an event, for example. I obviously have my standards in terms of quality and the likes. A random person would suggest a friend or someone that pops up in their minds first. But if it's a support organization, maybe like the BWA, for example, I know that I am most probably going to get a female photographer who is more in line with my line of work or my business values and the likes. And obviously someone who's accredited, someone who knows how to do their job and so forth. So it sort of kind of like makes it easier for me to be able to find and source the relevant people who will add value to what I'm doing, as opposed to me getting out there and trying to find the person myself. So it really makes the job easier.
It definitely sounds like it. I think the last point is it hard to find these support systems?
Personally, I think in the age of social media, it has become easier.
Okay.
Because you could literally just be scrolling through Twitter and an account pops up, maybe talking about an upcoming event for female entrepreneurs. So I feel like social media has made it easier, and also the internet as well.
Yeah.
You can literally just Google innovation or incubation hubs in Johannesburg, and your JNB hives and the likes will pop up. So I feel like it's not as difficult as it was before.
Okay, cool. I hope anyone listening, you know, now understands why the Business Buzz Show is as good as it is. That is our executive producer, Glory Mabuza, just telling us about the communities that she's a part of and has been able to build in and around her business. And one of the key takeaways that I found interesting is what she's saying about when you're part of a support network or a support structure, the types of people that that support structure are going to suggest to you are likely going to be of a higher quality than a random off of the street, simply because apart from the fact that it's a support structure, they probably have your best interests at heart. So if they suggest, using the example that she gave, if they suggest a photographer, it's someone who's going to be good, and she is just talking about, you know, supporting fellow female entrepreneurs, so that also then ties in, and you know, you can help each other that way. So thank you so much to her for just sharing some of those insights. So that's been it for today's show. Thank you so much to everyone who has listening. Thank you to our guests who are part of today's show. Remember that you can continue the conversation on social media. We are VAR FM or Voice of Vits. That's our main Facebook page, and you can also find the Vits Radio Academy Facebook page. And then on Twitter, it's at VAR FM, and then our hashtag is #BusinessBuzz. And remember that podcasts of the Business Buzz Show are available on vits.journalism.co.za/business. So with that, we've reached the end of tonight's show. Thank you so much to our technical producer, that is Kutlwano Serame, together with our executive producers, that is Simba Honde and Glory Mabuza. Don't miss the Business Buzz, same time, same place next week for more insight into the world of business. Don't turn that dial. The the music keeps rolling right here on Vow FM. We will see you next week. So for myself, Mudiwa Mob, Justice Kabaza, and the rest of the team, it is good evening and take care.
Mob Justice on the Business Buzz. The Business Buzz Podcast.